Voices Radio Network.
The views and opinions of Muscle Minds is for informational and educational purposes only.
Better, stronger, faster. A man barely alive, faster. Better, stronger, faster. Steve Austin, faster. Be that man.
Better than he was before.
Welcome back to Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. I'm Scott McNally. This program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. Our codes are Advices and Advices Oats. Dr. Scott, I'm still using the oatmeal blends from True Nutrition. And so yeah. I had told Dave Crossland on the show that just came out this week, actually. We spoke last week, obviously, that all I've done to change my nutrition has been I eat my meal like I normally do. And then maybe about 25 minutes before training, right before I leave my house, I eat a cup of that oatmeal and I wash it down with some pre-workout mixed with citrulline malate and beta-alanine and a scoop of Pepto-Pro. And so I do all that right before I train, 25 minutes before. By the time I get to the gym, it's digested, you know, enough that it's not like coming up on me when I'm training legs.
Good.
All but once, that is. And
you threw up, actually.
I didn't. I came close, though. Like, I came close just because it was, like, still – yeah, it just wasn't settling right. But it's been good, man. My pumps have been, as you can imagine, like, crazy, you know, getting those extra carbs in, getting 60 extra grams in. And I almost feel like it's like a it's almost like an intro workout, because I have to think that you eat that oatmeal, it's not hitting your bloodstream instantly. You know, it's going to be releasing. Slow. Yeah, it's going to be releasing through the whole – yeah, exactly. That's the way I feel.
It's an intro. Yeah, like, they have the sweetest oat starch over on True Nutrition. Mm. Which, you know, is a slow carb, and for that reason.
Okay.
It's got some beta-glucans in there, I believe, as well. So, yeah, that's. I just did a talk this weekend at a charity event for Women's Day Tampa, it was called. So they're raising money for battered women in shelters. Okay. And Jamie Pinder, IFBB coach Jamie Pinder, put that on. And
kidding.
Just did a talk down at MI40 just yesterday.
Okay, cool.
On peri-workout recovery supplementation. So...
And exactly. Wouldn't you say that's it's an oat starch?
Swedish oat starch is what they call it. Let me see. I think if they still have it.
Okay. Huh.
Sweet. They used to.
And so this is going to work almost like, so this is going to be a longer acting carbohydrate?
Oats will be, yeah, because of the fiber.
Oh, you can see. Yeah, look who's here. Look who's here,
I see.
She's hanging out with us today. I trapped her in the studio. Yeah, I've never used that before. You know, when I was really trying to gain as much muscle as possible, there were times that I would eat food, and then the next hour I would drink a shake with maltodextrin in it, and then the next hour I would eat food, and the next hour the maltodextrin. I almost feel like the maltodextrin was still like, it felt real, like, I guess cheap is the best word. way it digested. Exactly. I wonder if something like that would be a better option in a situation like that.
Well, it's a matter of how long does it sit in your stomach versus how much water does it pull in. Okay. Both of those will cause the fullness to stay. So if something is slow to digest, it'll stay there for a longer period of time. So it's in your stomach. So it's, let's say your stomach, let's say it ends up being, you get something that is roughly the size of a baseball and it stays there for 3 hours, or something that actually ends up roughly the size of a grapefruit. Because it draws water to it, but it's in and out more quickly. You're still going to get some form of bloating, so or distension. Yeah, they just call it oat starch powder now.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Complex carbohydrate derived from whole oats, which have been finely ground to functional food powder.
Okay. So you can basically make your own meal replacement using that, using some protein, possibly throw in a little bit of olive oil or something, mac oil, if you wanted to add some fats to it, you'd be good. Or MCT powder. I know they have that there. You could use that.
Yeah, they used to have this mod carb too, which is this another slow acting carbohydrate. I think it had trehalose in it, maybe.
I don't even know what trehalose is.
It's a like kind of a designer carb.
Okay.
Mod carb has oat bran, amaranth. It's derived from various starches.
Okay.
Millet, buckwheat, quinoa, amaranth, oat bran, chia. I don't have the trail of those anymore. There's a question about waxy maize too. We can
answer. On our list there?
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
From Jake Radcliffe. I know he's a regular listener of the show. So we met him last, I think we both did. It was either last year. Yeah. I think he had your book.
Holy shit. Okay. He's got a big question here. So we're on that. We might as well. I have an intro workout drink. I'll read his question here.
Okay.
This is from about 3 weeks ago.
This is a long question.
Yeah. I'm not going to read all the list of ingredients there. I have an intra workout drink that has everything in it I love, but it has waxy maize in it, so it's as its main carb source. Considering waxy maize is pretty much derived mostly from corn, I believe. Yes, maize, corn. I'm not so sure it's a great choice. It is a great bang for your buck when you go over how many ingredients you get from it. It's a pretty reputable company that's been around for a while. It sits in my stomach and seems to digest great.
Okay.
That kind of sits in my stomach. It usually means it doesn't digest all that well.
I think maybe he means like it sits well.
Okay.
Maybe I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he means that like it sits well and it digests well is I think what he means.
Yeah. Just so Waxy Max, what they have. So I don't know. It's a proprietary blend. So this is actually another good question. This comes up so often. They have he listed here. Here's the ingredient label: calories 240. It contains dark matter proprietary blend, 63.5 grams, with the ultimate post-workout muscle growth accelerator, 63.5 grams of Waxy Max, low viscosity, high molecular weight osmotic Waxy Maize starch, Maltoplex 18, and then oats, basically. It has dextrose, black seed extract. Oh no, it's a rhizosativa, not a Venus sativa. Okay, so that's I don't know anything about black rice seed. But here's the thing. In a proprietary blend, the order of ingredients does not necessarily represent the relative composition of the proprietary blend. So they don't have to put the Waxy Max is listed first. It might be just because they want to like make sure you know it's got Waxy Max in there. And it might be 1% of the blend. They can literally technically do that. So Maltoplex 18 is just maltodextrin.
It's a nice
we gotta
way
call
it
something. Maltoplex 18? I don't like to know what the number means. Maybe there's 18 grams. Like that's the magic number of grams of maltodextrin. and it does have modified food starch from Waxy Maize. So the Waxy Max and the modified food starch. So there's some waxy maize in there. So here's the thing. We actually did this a long time ago with the Waxy Maize that True Nutrition was selling. It hadn't even been True Protein at that time.
Okay.
And actually, this is when like Dante kind of found that to some degree. He was like, or he knew about like he knew that Waxy Maize was going to kind of come to the market, and he wanted to figure out. And he was just trying to source good material, so he sent a bunch of us some samples of this. This is back in the day. This is kind of insider history here. And some of them were really bitter, some were really nasty, and we actually did some glucometer readings. And you can find this in the literature if you dig it up. Waxy maize is a very low glycemic index carbohydrate source, even though it's high molecular weight. And it's probably maybe a function of the branching patterns that are there, and it's going to probably vary depending on the source of the waxy maize.
So that means it's going to digest slow. Is it still going to digest fast, but not then spike your...
It does, something about it. Like literally, there was a flatline blood glucose.
Holy shit!
Like it didn't change for shit.
Wow!
And it seems like it goes in really slow, but it doesn't cause a lot of bloating. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there.
Yeah.
Some people do okay with that. Some people bloat with it. Justin Harris had a situation where he got like a GI issue before junior nationals the year that he won.
Okay.
At least won his weight class, and he had to trying to carb up. And he used Waxy Maize, and it kind of saved him.
No kidding.
That's the only thing he could get down and keep down and fill up with. So Waxy Maize, the thing he probably would want to do, Jake, is if you got a glucometer at home, which you can get at a drugstore, you can order them online through Amazon, whatever, is see maybe just at rest how this compares to, you know, something like some rice cereal. Maybe you do it a post-workout, something like that. Eat the same number of carbs and try to match the protein if you could, and see what happens. See how what the glycemic index is here, because this waxy maize may be okay in your gut, and that happens a lot with people, but it's not a very high glycemic index. That suggests it's also not going to do much as far as insulin, which is what you want actually in an intra-workout. Insulin is mediating a good deal of the potential benefits that you could get from an intra-workout by reducing protein breakdown, causing some increased vasodilation for improvement, enhancement of amino acid delivery, potentially anabolism if the amino acids are there. There are some protein there, 12 grams. I'm not sure what those asterisks mean. I'm looking at the just post it. But so what else they have? He's got the – here's the other thing too, looking at this. So he's got Hydrosize. It's a multi-phase creatine transport and cell volumizing matrix with creatine blend, quick peak creatine monohydrate and creatine pyruvate intraphase – glucose-bound creatine gluconate, 65% glycerol powder. So here's just my thought. I mean, when those labels are derived, you can give names to proprietary blends, and they don't have to be copyrighted. Like, you can just kind of come up with those.
Yeah.
As far as I know, you can just call it whatever. You know, you could call it the McNally, you know, Muscle Master Max blend
3000, yeah,
whatever,
3000 in there, yeah.
3000, like, yes, like 3000 is a great number, much more than 2000. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you see a bunch of like Insta Peak and multi phase, it's like, come on, like, what are you're trying to get people, you know, with it just makes me think there's a lot of flash, it's a little too flashy.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, do you really need creatine pyruvate and creatine gluconate that's glucose bound? And the, how much of the 65% glycerol powder? There could be like 3 milligrams of that. You know, giving you a total of 2 milligrams of glycerol, which is completely physiologically insignificant.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing is that some free-form amino acids don't necessarily end up getting included in the protein on the label. So the protein's 12 grams. I don't know if those 6 grams amino acids are included in there.
Probably
not.
Really?
Yeah. You can, like, if you look on, I think it was this way on one of John Meadow's products, one of the intra-workout that's the Granite supplements had. And you can find on other ones where they just use essential amino acids, and they'll be like, you know, 6 grams or 12 grams or 10 grams of EAAs.
Right.
But the label says no protein. And it's because it's not a protein source. It's essential amino acids, which basically are the building blocks of protein. But because of just the labeling standards, that doesn't get listed as protein.
Okay.
So in that case, it makes sense to, like, kind of blast people with the fact that, hey, we do have amino acids in here.
Right.
Because if they just read, like, the basic nutrition information, they'll show no protein. Like, well, I don't want that. I want something with protein in it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, because that's just a bizarre way for the labeling to work. I wouldn't worry so much about the waxy maize. The other stuff, like, literally, so let's go through and look at this.
Okay.
It's a really good question, actually. So the Hydrosize is this creatine transport system. I don't know of any plain old creatine monohydrate gets the job done. You know, I don't know that you need, like, there's any advantage in terms of creatine loading or creatine exposure. The elevation of blood creatine levels is on the order of like 5 hours, I think, 5 to 8 hours after like a 5 gram dose.
Okay.
So, like, you can dose creatine like 2 or 3 times a day, and you've got elevated creatine levels all the time. So, like, this kind of, like, this is some sort of a time-released multi-phase creatine transport idea. No need for that. You can just use creatine monohydrate. The glycerol powder, you have no idea how much is in there, and you can buy glycerol or glycerin by the gallon on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And take in a shitload of that and get that at a lot cheaper price. Let's see what glycerin costs. Amazon. I have a gallon of it here at home.
Do you use it on a regular basis?
Yeah, I throw it in my pre-workouts.
Do you notice a difference when you use it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you get from it?
A better pump, vascularity.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's the cell volumizing thing. So 22, here's a gallon for $22.
Okay.
So pretty cheap.
So you could make that last forever, I'm going to guess. How much would you use per serving?
I put like several ounces in there. Okay. Test it out and see what happens.
Yeah.
It makes things taste wonderful. So
yeah.
So that it's used as a thickening agent for like baking purposes.
Okay.
You buy it like at the grocery store, but so then as far as the ProSynthogen protein synthesis accelerator,
there you go.
Dual portal anabolic amino acid infusion. God. Come on, it's like this is like, you know, is this NASA approved? Like what the fuck here? This is like we're building Frankenstein with this supplement. It's free from amino acids, 6 grams of essential amino acids. And then it just lists them. And there's whey protein. And then there's the peptide infusion, which is whey protein isolate, leucine peptides. Like maybe di- and tripeptides that have leucine as one of the amino acids. I'm not even sure what that really means. Hmm. Basically, it's whey isolate and hydrolyzed whey.
That'd be whey easier protein, to say that.
It's probably the whey protein is probably whey protein concentrate, which they don't have to list necessarily. And then the peptide infusion is whey isolate and then probably some di- and tripeptides. So you could go to from a hydrolyzed whey. So you could all that is basically is essential amino acids, whey concentrate, and you don't know how much of which. So it's basically creatine, maybe a little glycerol, probably not enough in there to do anything. And whey isolate, hydrolyzed whey and some essential amino acids. And then the carb source, which is made up of various kinds of waxy maize with some dextrose and the black rice seed extract, which has the anthocyanidins, which is, I think those are have antioxidant actions.
Okay.
So anyway, so it's just carbs, protein, and creatine, really, with a lot of fancy verbiage.
Okay. So this is an MHP product, dark matter.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That's what I'm looking at right now. I was unaware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it all broken down here. So this stuff is $42.95. And per serving, you get 50 grams of carbohydrates. You know, no fats in there. The protein is listed at 12 grams. I mean, realistically, I guess, you know what? I think sometimes people like to buy things because of the flavor, too. But I guess back to his question, though. Waxy maize, you know, and what was he getting at there? He said he liked this product. It sits well. But waxy maize, is it going to be a bad choice because it is corn based?
Yeah, and I wouldn't. I'm trying to think.
Because we think of corn, we think of high fructose corn syrup. We think of rehydrating the liver with glycogen. You know what I mean? That's like all replenishing the liver with glycogen.
Yeah,
you know that's what we think of. We think of corn as being corn starch. High fructose corn syrup, you know?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. The main thing with the waxing, actually there's a study with rats that I recall reading where they fed rats a large percentage of waxy maize in their diet and they made them insulin resistant.
Did it really?
Yeah. Because it's just hanging around. It was basically causing, hyperglycemia on a chronic level. Consistently.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So there's something about, you know, you elevate glucose and then it comes back down. You elevate, it comes back down. The variations sort of, you know, create a fluctuation whereby you can restore insulin sensitivity between meals or overnight, what have you.
Yeah.
You're more insulin sensitive in the morning than at night after you've been eating all day long. And the waxy maize was just like constantly chronically elevating glucose and these rats ended up with a diabetic type of issue.
So basically it'd be something you wouldn't want to use all day long.
No, but it's not a very good, looking at the anthocyanins and cyanidins have antioxidant, actions, but you know, as to how much is in that ingredient in that product and whether it makes a difference, probably not. So,
okay. So compared to say something like, highly branched cyclic dextrin. I feel like the highly branched cyclic dextrin came in and replaced waxy maize. It's funny because, you know, I think waxy maize is something that you or I are probably super, super familiar with. You know, I remember when it first got popular, I had a client the other day say to me, "Hey, what's Waxy Maze?" And he's a guy who's like really plugged in with bodybuilding now, got real serious in the last few years, but he came after the whole Waxy Maze trend. So when he thinks of intro workouts, he thinks of probably like highly branched cyclic dextrin. And is that, would you say that like historically now looking at our intro workout carbs that replaced, because Waxy Maze was popular for a time. And then what was it? The cluster dextrins came in and replaced that.
Yeah. I mean, that was, Waxy Maze was just kind of like, wow, there's something different than maltodextrin and glucose.
Yeah.
You know, we can use these brand, and it seems to help with GI distress. And so then people started getting turned on the idea of the highly branched cyclic dextrins, because there's a little bit of the data, the Japanese group that did the work with rats, and they showed improved swimming performance, I think. And so then people started playing around with that, and that's when that became more popular.
Okay.
The highly branched cyclic dextrins on True Nutrition is like three times the cost of Waxy Maze.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, the carbo load.
Which I like carbo load.
A lot of people like.
Yeah, I like that one. It's cheaper too. It's, I think, like $20 for a bag of it. I don't know if that's a pound.
You know how much is in a yeah, I'm looking.
I forget. I forget. But cost to compare wise, I'd be curious, because I'm always, I feel like, you know, part of getting a supplement, especially when you build your own stuff, like if you buy that and then you buy, you know, whatever else you need for your intra, I feel like you can always do that cheaper buying it in bulk powders versus buying like a prefabbed thing. The key is though flavoring it, right?
Yeah, but there's so many good flavors. So the carbo, it's 1,350. As far as I can tell, it's 45 grams as in a serving, and 30 servings. So that's 1,350 grams. So that's about 1 1/3 kilos. So that's like, that's actually a pretty good price. That's like
For $20,
about 3 pounds for $20. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that works really well for lots of people.
Yeah.
So it's advanced carbohydrate system, rice solids, corn starch. And then they use maltodextrin, various colors, various flavors. You know, you can get all sorts of like the, you know, orange crush and grape crush and all that. You can get all sorts of flavorings on Amazon.
Yeah.
And that are delicious.
Is that what you use for your sodas?
Yeah, I use those for my sodas, and I've been putting those in my intro workouts.
No kidding.
Yeah. Let me put this in here. I'll see, because I found one that was like, it's got cherry, strawberry, pineapple, orange, grape, and berry blast.
Well, you mentioned you use the glycerin for your intra. What else do you like to use right now?
In my intra?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been using, I haven't been putting many carbs in there because I've been dieting for so long, but I've been using hydrolyzed whey, glycerol. And actually, lately, what I've been doing is testing out no carbs with glycerol.
Really?
Yeah. And when I compare like a scoop of carbs, what have I got in there? I think I've got some highly branched cyclic dextrin that I got from Granite, from John, and maybe from True Nutrition. I have several sources. And I think I have some leftover Fatargo too. I was trying them all out, like one scoop basically.
Yeah.
And comparing that with about the same amount of glycerol, so like about a 70 cc scoop, in terms of what happened as a kind of a pump and dryness. How did it affect me visually, aesthetically, in terms of getting a good pump and not looking a little spilled over, what have you? And the glycerol worked better than the equal amount of carbs.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So I just have protein. Got a little beta alanine, some creatine. I have an ashwagandha supplement that someone had sent me that I was throwing in there, just to kind of get it in.
How much beta alanine do you like to put in a shake?
I just use a little bit, probably like 3 or 4 grams. I don't like the big buzz.
Okay. I like the skin tingle from it. And I know if I get that tingle, then I'm going to get a good workout. Yeah. I think it's because like the first pre-workout I used would make my skin just like tingle like crazy. I felt it like down my neck and, you know, over my throat and then over the arteries of my wrists. And I was like, wow, this is the weirdest feeling. And then I got in the gym and my pumps were just hellacious. So I, ever since then, I've been like, yeah, that tingle equal, like in my brain, you know, I'm like, that tingle equals like, you know, great workout. So
yeah, right. That's it, you know, do it. Pavlovian response.
I've gone to like 6 grams of it. So, or no, is it by the gram? Yeah, I guess it is. Is it, how do they dose that? Whatever the little scooper is in there is one serving. And I've been doing like two servings of it. So I think
I have a big bucket of it.
I do too. And it comes with a little tiny scooper.
I'm looking, I found these Crush singles to go packets.
Yeah.
Like you can get 72 total servings for $10.
Okay.
One of them. And you can buy I got a variety pack that had pineapple cherry. Ooh, there's a cherry limeade. I haven't tried that one.
And you mix that right in with your intro workout then to flavor it?
I just throw it in. Yeah, I have like one of those super-sized blender bottles, like the big like 42 ounces.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just throw one of those in there for some flavor.
So you do that, and then I take it you said you use your, was it Whey Hydra that you're using?
Yeah.
Is that unflavored, I take it then, or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get all this stuff unflavored, because I know you can get carbo load unflavored too. I have a big bag of that upstairs.
Yeah.
And usually then I flavor it with something else, be it another like an EAA that has flavor or whatever else. I'll add it to another carb. But yeah, you could just mix that or some Crystal Light right in there. And I guess that would so that's the route you're taking. I imagine that's a lot cheaper than buying a tub of dark matter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking here. There's a ton of these things now that I've tried the Hawaiian Punch. They've got Hawaiian Punch singles to go.
Okay.
And these are delicious. Fruit Juicy Red, Blueberry Typhoon, Berry Limeade, Orange Ocean, Green Berry. They're absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And if you're having carbs anyway. So this is like an 8 count of 6 boxes for $11.
Okay.
So you can get, those are really good flavoring systems. So if you're willing to do that, of course, I talked about this weekend because I give this talk, but I've got a whole, like, I can't drag my computer in there and show you, but I've got a whole cabinet with sliding drawers I've installed full of all the powders and shit, you know, and it's just mess. Yeah, I have to vacuum it out every few weeks because the powders end up, you know, all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
But it works really, really well. It's not, doesn't take very long at all to put it together. And it lets me do, like, this kind of experimentation. Like, let's see what happens if I do this, if I try, like, carbs plus glycerol, does it matter? And literally the glycerol has a pretty impressive impact. And I actually used that for one of the shows I did this year.
Okay.
And just tried that.
You loaded on it is what you're telling me.
No, I just started drinking that same shake before I went on stage when I was pumping up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you felt it? Did you get a good pump from that one?
I did. What I didn't do is what I noticed is that tends to have an effect if I've added enough water after I'm doing an entire workout.
Okay.
And I tend to sort of sense it, and the vascularity comes out maybe 30 or 45 minutes into a full workout, and I just couldn't do that much shit when I was, I mean, I would have had to like be one of those guys who was just pumping up like an hour before he goes on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't time it because the shows, you don't know what's going on. Like they lean you back and just like waiting forever, you know?
And then you wait forever. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're on in 5, you know?
Yeah. And I would have like, if I'd have known, like you're going to be on in 45 minutes, then I could have done that. I could have really applied that and basically, simulated a full workout, but I'm talking like a full on workout where I'm like, you know, I'm doing like leg presses. I'm doing like, I start off with legs and I'm doing like pull downs and bent over rows. Like, type of shit you just can't really do with bands, in the back hallway before you go on stage.
That makes sense.
So I couldn't really replicate it and get the same effect that I was hoping to. But anyway, so
you're not even allowed to bring weights back there at a lot of those shows now.
I don't even try. Yeah. They don't just bring the bands.
Yeah. Yeah. I've known people
a lot with bands.
Oh, you can.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've known people though who do carry, like I think my first shows, I brought like a couple dumbbells with me. It's just a pain in the ass to carry them. But I think nowadays, like, they don't even want you to. They used to have, like, my first shows, and I'm sure you did too. They had, like, a whole pump-up room set up. They'd have a gym set up in there, basically, you know, with all sorts of dumbbells, pull-down machine, everything else.
Yeah, it's just, like, so many things now. I can think about how much has changed. Like, back then, like, one of the things I did for one of these shows, I did my own color. Last one I did.
Oh, okay.
Color.
Okay.
Awesome. I had done that for forever. It was so much fucking easier.
Was it really?
I ordered the, Oh, yeah. I was actually, maybe on the next show I can demonstrate how I did that. I just patted it on. I used liquid sun rays.
Yeah.
Which my skin just takes. I mean, there's still some on me. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's been like weeks. Yeah. It just stays. It's amazing.
I think you didn't have to what?
Well, like this, they set up these like, okay, so you go in for your first coat. I'm like, okay, now we need to see you there tomorrow at 5:30.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus criminy. Like, there was one time at Team Universe, they wanted me to come in at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And I wasn't at the host hotel. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this. Liquid sun rays, it cost me, whatever, $15 for the bottle, and I got the applicator. I used, like, maybe 2/3 of a bottle.
Yeah.
And that was it. It cost me $15, and I put it on myself, and I touched up the next morning, and it looked awesome.
Nice.
It's very easy, and it didn't bother me. It was such a time saver.
So you gotta have a friend. You gotta have a friend.
Yeah,
that's one thing with doing a tan, and you gotta be able to apply it well. I found like for me,
I didn't need a friend. I did it myself.
You were able to get your back and everything, no problem.
Yeah,
really? Usually. No kidding.
I used the back scratcher and I strapped the pad on there and I just patted it on.
And you got it even. Everything was even, huh?
Yeah, it looked badass. It looked great.
No kidding. I know that
it wasn't a problem at all.
For me, the issue is getting it even. That's what I've seen. Is especially with liquid sun rays. I found that like with Pro Tan, I could get Pro Tan pretty even because you got to do layer after layer after layer of it. Versus like liquid sun rays, you could. It's for me. It was easy to make it too thick, and then it would easily obscure my definition.
I don't know. I know. I did 5 shows, and 4 of them were, well, 3 of them I got spray tan with liquid sunrise product. The other one was Pro Tan. The Pro Tan my skin did not like it.
Yeah.
Got a little greenish hue. I broke out. Okay. It was like, looked awful the next few days afterwards.
Mm.
Liquid sunrise my body likes. And I'm like, I'm going to just try this. It goes on so good.
Okay.
It was no problem at all, man. It took me maybe, it didn't take, I feel like it maybe at most 45 minutes to put the first tan on. That was everything. And I just kept on like, you know, looking. I was like, I need a little more here, a little more there.
Yeah.
Went on easy. The next day I spent like 10 minutes, like just evening it out. It was done.
Yeah. Nice.
Saved myself like 2 hours, like all this driving around and everything else. It was just awesome.
And so would it cost easier. You like over $100 too, you know?
Oh yeah. A lot. And this, the time and everything else and waiting around and you're freezing and yeah. I was just standing there in my own bathroom, you know, doing yeah. my thing.
Man, I've done that every time up until this last year. This last year I did spray tan, but up until that last contest season, I had always done my own. Like, and there was still a lot of people that did their own, you know, for years and years up until I made that choice. Like, I think I might have been one of the last people to transition over to getting sprayed, but I like it, man. I like how even it is. I like that I don't have to think about it. I like that if I'm backstage, that their people, if you do it like with the host, you know, the people, whatever they are, like the sponsor of the show, then they're backstage. So they're there to touch you up. They're there to put your glaze on and all that. And, so I like that better. I like, that's the one thing where I'll like, that way I don't have to think about it, but it took me years to get there. I can see at the same time though, it's a pain in the ass, especially like imagine if you're coaching someone and that, you know, there's these critical moments that you want to, you know, be able to check in with them, but they're in the middle of like getting tan. And then after that, they have makeup for 2 hours. And then after that, it's like, yeah. Well, now they go on in an hour and I don't even know what they look like. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
right.
I haven't
seen well, all the shows I did this year, the glazing was done for anybody, regardless of who did your tanning.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't like, oh, we won't help you. And those were 2 national shows and 3 local shows.
Okay.
So that wasn't a problem. Like they just, you know, that was easy. And I hear what you're saying, man. Like that's why I switched to spray tan is because I didn't like I'd always had someone else help me do it. And I used to fucking hate it. It's like, ugh. Like, oh, it was just you're dieted down, you're hungry and you're dehydrated and maybe you have to pee all the time if you're dropping your water. And it's like, I just don't want to be like have someone patting on me and like pushing me around, telling me what to do. It's just like, it just was annoying. It's like, it was almost like the worst part of dieting, like of everything was the color. Which was so strange because it was only like, you know, an hour's worth of time.
Yeah.
But when I did it this time and it was me, it went on so easily. I'll just continue to do this.
Do you do anything to prepare your skin ahead of time? I know they always tell you. Because
no.
What do they tell you to do for everybody out there listening? Like they tell you what, like exfoliate your skin, make sure you don't use any moisturizers for a week, all that. So you didn't do any of that stuff, huh?
Nothing. I did zilch.
You just went in.
Yeah.
You did it yourself, and boom, you're done. $15 later.
I wrote it on a Monday, got there on a Wednesday. I put it on Friday and went on stage on Saturday. Yeah, it was easy.
There are nice people there, too. When they send that stuff out, they're cool people. The girl who runs the place, they really take care of you, and they make sure that you get what you need. Like, they understand.
Which place?
Liquid Sunrays.
Oh, okay.
Is that who you said you use? Yeah.
Yeah, they're
quick to ship, and they know that if you ordered this, you ordered it because you're getting on stage. Like, they make sure that you get it. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I didn't interact with any people. I just came like a generic order.
But I think it was like Mirian or something like that. I can't remember.
But it was just so easy. It was the reason I got onto that. I thought about that is if you, back in the day when everyone was doing their own tan and they actually brought in weights to make sure that you could, you know, pump up properly, and now things have just changed. Like, now we have all the other divisions. There's spray tanning is a huge expense. The women's suits are just outrageous. The makeup is like, I think some of the makeup women will charge. I want to say it's definitely hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Damn.
For just extraordinary amounts for makeup. And it's one of those things, like, you just have to, do that, you know, because you'll be looked down upon. You can lose in the judge's eyes to some degree if you haven't stepped up with the makeup. So it's just a kind of a different perspective from, you know, providing service to the athletes versus figuring out how to charge them more. Yes.
I'm going to ask Cara Trubbish. She just did a string of shows. She's a girl that I work with in Bikini who's a pro. I'm going to ask her how much on average does stage makeup cost? Because I don't know, but I want to know now too. So we're going to find out. I know that sometimes it takes a while too. And like when they're doing makeup, like it could be like a process, man. It could be like an hour. And I know that like these girls are getting up at like 4 a.m. to go, you know, like you said, you had to go tan at 3 a.m. I've seen that happen where it's like, oh, well, my makeup's at 4 o'clock. So I have to get up at 3:30. It's like, wait a second. We need to get a good night's sleep. You know, the better sleep you can get, the better you're going to look. Right. You know?
Yeah, let me see. I'm going to look. Okay, so going to Hotspot here. This is for a show that's this next weekend here, kind of locally.
Okay.
So here's the makeup. So it's $125 for makeup, $100 for hair. So
$250, $250, you know, something like that. Yeah. And then
men's
you tip
makeup's
that
only $50.
Oh, well, there you go. We can get a deal.
Yeah.
For men's makeup.
Men's makeup is not going to help me no matter what. There's no fucking way. Like, there's nothing you can do with this. That's just what it is, man. So, but yeah, that's a lot. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know that. I remember when I had on Jan Tana, she said she would do makeup for the guys. Like Jay, they all did makeup because, you know, you think it's like makeup is for women, but these guys, they're using it too because they're on stage and it's to get everything to match, to look, you know, to go together. So you don't have that like white face with that is kind of a funky look when you have like a white face and a dark brown body, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I did my face too. Like just the next day I put it on my face and it, you know, evened it out. Yeah. Sean Ray used to use mascara. There's a video of him showing him. I'm trying to think where that video. I can see it. Like maybe it was with the Olympia in Helsinki or something like that. And he's backstage and it was at some sort of a theater where they had literally makeup mirrors for actors who would put on makeup for the stage.
Yeah.
And there's Sean's putting on the mascara back then.
He knew how to do it, huh? That'll...
Say what?
He even knew how to do that. Huh? I wouldn't even know how to get it on there, right?
He was a stickler for detail. Yeah, he was putting it on. I don't know if he's doing it right, but he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Hey guys, let's take just a really brief pause from this episode of Muscle Minds just to thank our sponsor. I'm not going to say too much because we already talked a lot about some of the products that True Nutrition carries at the beginning of the show. All I will say is that if you shop with our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com, that I would encourage you to please use our codes because those codes let them know that you support our programming here at Advices Radio and think big. So as you guys probably already know, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Our codes are Advices and Advices Oats. The Advices Oats code will get you 25% off of their oatmeal blends. And then the Advices code is like their standard traditional coupon code that you can use for all of their products. Guys, thank you for shopping with them. Thanks for listening to us. And thank you for using the code. Before we get back, I'd also like to thank Dr. Scott Stevenson for being here with us and sharing his vast education. You know, he spent his whole life learning to be the best bodybuilder and the best coach that he can be. This is his true joy. This is his passion. And he has gone further than just sharing it here on the shows. Of course, he's all over the place. He's on a lot of podcasts. He's doing his seminars. I know he has one coming up in Scotland soon. And he has put these thoughts, all these ideas into a book. It's called Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach. You can purchase the hardcover of that over at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon. And if you want to save a few bucks, or if you prefer the ebook, either way, the ebook is a little bit cheaper. You can get that at byobbcoach.com. But if you go to like the Arnold or you go to one of his seminars, if you're in Scotland, he can't sign the ebook. So just keep that in mind. The hardcover is a beautiful book, but either way, go with the option that's best for you. And I guarantee that you are going to learn a ton. All right, guys, let's get back to the program. Thanks for bearing with me through my rambling commercials. All right, I'm going to go to the next question here from Travis James. I know we talked about this a couple weeks back on Blood, Sweat, and Gear, too. But I don't know if we took it in the direction that Travis wanted to. So I'm glad we got a chance to go over this again. He says, show day nutrition, keeping stomach flat, holding fullness, not spilling, bringing up vascularity, adding in water if going flat variables, etc. A general discussion on all things show day nutrition, what can go wrong, what could be helpful, etc.
But most people, many people look at show day nutrition or the whole peak week as a tremendous list of variables like he's listed here that cannot be in any way coordinated. So you just have to it's like a dog chasing its tail. And that's where a good guru can say, you know, hey, you need to add some sodium and you add some water or what have you.
Right.
The couple main overarching thoughts here. One, as I always say, practice run.
Yeah.
Two, do you need to do anything other than what you've already been doing? Do you need to, like, is there any, if you're in shape, if you're just really, really tremendously in shape, you can basically do practice runs by just dropping water the night before, for instance, as a simple example, and seeing if that makes you look better the next day. And then just try out a meal. So you should have some idea as you go into the show what foods keep your stomach flat, because you're not eating those foods that bloat you. You've eliminated those. I just had a consult with a guy who's been having midsection issues, and he's like, I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what are you eating? And he told me what he's eating, and I said, well, does that bloat you? He's like, yeah, I get more bloated when I eat this. And I basically, he told me, I have no idea what's going on. And then I asked him like three or four questions and he told me exactly what was going on.
Mm.
He knew exactly what bloated him, what didn't bloat him, what makes his stomach worse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he just couldn't connect the dots in his own mind because he was just kind of oblivious to it. So holding fullness, he's sort of tossing out like kind of all the, and I don't mean this like in a derogatory way, Travis, you're kind of like tossing out, these are like kind of buzzwordy things. So holding fullness, if you're using a diuretic, that's going to be pulling water, causing diuresis and water loss, maybe in a runaway fashion, then you're going to have an issue. You're going to have to keep up with that. But if you've dried out, the way that I typically would do it, and you haven't used any diuretics, and you've got normal physiological water homeostatic mechanisms in place. So basically your body is, I'm getting a message here on Facebook while I'm reading these questions. What's one of the disadvantages of doing these on Facebook? Then you've filled up and you're full, you're not going to lose the fullness, because you don't have anything like driving diuresis incredibly. I mean, unless you've just like had like 1,000 milligrams of caffeine or something like that.
Yeah.
And you've already got plenty of carbs. So that wouldn't be a problem. So that's a diuretic related issue. and probably a timing one where you've now got the diuretic acting and you're dropping water and you're trying to battle that. And that happens all the time to people. That can be a problem with a weight class. So that's so many variables there that it's kind of hard to address that generically. So not spilling, the way I handle that one is you fill up and you dry out first. So if you're full and you don't pose, you don't use up the glycogen, you're going to stay full. Yeah. And if you're dry, super duper dry, and you do like a shitload the morning of, if you really friggin' dry, you're not going to spill.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. But and like, it's funny because it looks like, I'm guessing that maybe Travis's perspective is oriented around diuretics. Is that so? If you're trying to hold fullness by taking in carbs and you're not quite sure what's going on in terms of the effect of the diuretic, then you could risk spilling.
Yeah.
So you're losing water. Especially if somehow for some reason you're not using a potassium sparing diuretic, so you can end up losing intracellular water, so that'll make you flatten out really fast. Vascularity too, that like all this is all diuretic related issues. These are all like easily fixable, but the vascularity thing is interesting because I think there's some aspect of vascularity. This is one of our questions we probably won't get to today, but some aspect of vascularity gives that graininess to muscle.
Sure.
It gives it a grainy characteristic, but like judges don't look at the guy. They look more at separation and sort of muscularity overall. And if someone just has a bunch of it's like crazy vascular, that doesn't necessarily, it looks awesome. It's fucking badass.
Yeah.
You know, for Instagram pictures and what have you, but that doesn't necessarily help you in the judge's eyes. So people put too much weight on that, I think.
Do you think, now, does it have to be, you know, diuretic based, this conversation? Because I can think of a couple people that I've worked with this season who didn't cut water at all, that we needed to keep water in, that if we did cut water, they would go flat. And so knowing that going in, we reduced it slightly, because like one guy I can think of, it's like he would wake up looking sharp and kind of flat. And then after a couple meals and more importantly, getting water in for a couple hours, then he would just fill back out and he would look good. But by the end of the day, then he would look watery. So it's like for him, it was a balance of, because one of the things he mentioned is adding water in if going flat. So I know that like with this guy in particular, a couple people I'm thinking of, like they need to still drink water. Otherwise they will go flat. And that's not using any diuretics at all. And even if they're like pounding the carbs, you could probably, I think some of these people could, like if they're super, super lean, could pound carbs all day. But if you're not getting water, you're not going to fill out. Can you talk a little bit about a situation like that? Because that's not diuretic related, but it is just a situation where you're going flat.
Just practice run. Like literally like if you like, let's say you're in really friggin' good shape, like 4 weeks out, which, you know, and hopefully 2 weeks out, you're like in show shape.
Yeah.
Well then you can practice that on just like a single day. If you wake up in the morning, you look good and you eat your carbs and you're like, okay, so I took in 1 gallon of water the day and I took in 1,000 grams of carbs and I looked pretty good. And these were these carb sources with this much sodium. And I spilled a little bit, but I stayed full. Then you just try, you know, a half a gallon and you're good to go. And then, so then you just are figuring out your own, solution basically.
I gotcha.
And so, you can have those issues without a diuretic thing, but it's a very simple thing to figure out because, one, the variability, like you're not all of a sudden like, holy shit, I'm just dropping water. Like I lost 3 pounds in the last hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen unless you're like Juan Morell or someone like that. I just heard an interview on Fouad's podcast with him, and he has to carb up like a motherfucker and has to really push things because he's got this alien metabolism. Yeah. But he knows that.
Yeah. And he was eating like Five Guys and everything else.
Yeah.
And he heard still, that interview. Yeah, I did. And he still couldn't get full.
Yeah, and that was because he traveled and everything else, and he probably, you know, missed some food and the effect of on his water metabolism from the flight and everything else. Yeah,
and the desert, so, too.
Yeah, so that's hard for him. He'd have to, like, get in town, like, you know, probably 4 or 5 days early and just, like, stay in a cheap hotel.
Yeah, just
maybe to fix that. And he actually, he said he pushed it harder than he he knows he made some quote unquote mistakes.
Mm. Yeah.
That he was totally aware of. So mm-hmm. even then, like, his questions are already answered for himself. He knows what he did wrong.
Yeah.
But with the, so it's sort of like, you know, you're sort of like just trying to keep yourself upright when you're just manipulating your water and your carbs. If you're someone who tends to go flat like that or to spill over, just, you know, on a day like that where you're keeping carbs high and you're trying to keep your water balance appropriate. So you're just kind of balancing those things. And you do that a couple, 3 days and you learn your own, even through the course of your just like non-training days, you could just like mess around with that. But when you add diuretics in there, it's like you're doing all this amidst a tornado and, you know, you're getting thrown all over the place.
Yeah.
And then what's really an issue. So, anyway, you make a good point. It's not just diuretics, but I'm just getting like when he's asking all these things, he's asking questions that I think have easy answers.
That's what,
to some degree.
And to an extent, you're kind of leaning towards thinking that these are maybe he's using diuretics. And that's what
I don't know that he has, or maybe that's, you know, and some of it too is you can, if it's, it depends on like, I mean, I'm not the pot calling the kettle black here, but it depends on how well you can objectively assess your physique.
Yeah.
You might wake up and say, oh my God, I'm going flat, or oh shit, I spilled over, and you really haven't. It's just because you're, it's you on, you know, you live in there on your body on show day, and you're hypercritical, and we've all got a little body dysmorphia.
Right.
And you're like, holy shit, I'm going flat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, literally the way that I handle those things with my week is that you hold fullness by filling up and then not doing a bunch of posing and training to use up the glycogen. You don't spill because you get dry and then you can eat whatever hell you want and you won't spill over for a long time when you've really dried out. Hmm. Vascularity comes from sodium and like a shit-loading type of meal if you want the vascularity, and that'll help fill you out and you won't spill because you're already dry.
Hmm.
So those three questions are already kind of figured out. You can do those things sequentially, fill up, dry out, and then adjust with food as needed.
Hmm.
This is all in the book. So adding in water if going flat. So the thing that's actually a good topic, though, to continue on, because one of the things that if you're going flat, that can be because of a sodium issue sometimes. It can be because of carbohydrates, and it's because of water. Carbs are going to be the least likely to be something that's sort of irreversible. So if you think you're pretty dry,
mm-hmm.
but you're getting flat, maybe you're under carb. So you take in like a low sodium carb source. That's why everyone's eating rice cakes. It's a kind of conservative way to do this.
Mm.
You can fill up that way. So okay, that's not a big deal. You're going to metabolize those carbs, and that won't hurt you too badly as long as you're already dry. If you're trying to, you know, fill out. Then another option might be fats, actually, too. Sometimes fats will help with that, just probably because of prostaglandin synthesis, that sort of thing. They just seem to be magical for many people. Even chocolate sometimes will help people kind of get a pump better. And then sodium. But sodium is a little bit more iffy, because when you add sodium in, it's not like that's going to stay there for a while, especially if you're not peeing a lot, because your kidneys don't have a lot of fluid volume with which to get rid of the sodium. And then water is the thing that's the most difficult to get rid of. So water would be the last thing that you might add if you're unsure of why you're flat. So I would go with, generally speaking, low sodium carbs. Maybe fats are pretty safe too. Fats won't make you spill.
Mm.
Then a little bit of sodium. And you can always do this incrementally. Like, that's why, I mean, like, you probably do this. I do this. So many coaches will say, just have a little bit of this and see what happens.
Yeah.
Wait 15 minutes. Give it a go. So, okay, we're good. Like that I can tell that kind of worked. And have a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how the body, like, there's some mechanisms that I've never even seen, like, discussed, like in anatomy and physiology or any of my exercise phys classes. Like, one of the things that I've seen myself and I've seen in clients, and I kind of freaked a client out not long ago. He was all dry. He was dried out. And he hadn't peed for a long time. And I think this was during a practice run. I said, hey, well, just go ahead and have like a half of that bottle of water.
Yeah.
And he's like, I bet when you do, you're probably going to get a flush and you're going to have to go pee. And so he drank the water and we're trying to talk. And he's like, like 2 minutes later, she's like, holy shit. Like, what is that? I'm like all flushed out and I got to go to the bathroom now.
Yeah.
And it's almost, it's like, there wasn't enough water that you, that like that it could have been processed and gotten in the bladder that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some other sensory mechanisms that are involved that were somehow saying, ah, water's coming in, so it's okay to, you know, get the urinary system going and filter water through and go ahead and pee. And you can't, like, once you, according to the textbook, once the water, there's no way for water that's in the bladder to be brought back into the blood system. It's after it's in the bladder, it's out pretty much. That's just a holding vessel for its way out of the body. So he drank that water and it didn't have enough time to like increase his bladder size. It wasn't like that he filled his bladder up and then he had to pee.
Right.
It's just something other in his body sensed, okay, we can just like, let's get all the works going again here. And we're, now you can go pee, even though that the peeing doesn't in any way, the urine in the bladder didn't in any way. It's not like a camel's hump or something like that, where you could actually use that water. It's already gone, but still the system does that. It's a bizarre thing.
Yeah,
so you're really sensitive in these situations in ways that, you know, you just kind of have to figure out on your own. Even the books and the science won't necessarily tell you, at least as far as I know. So
I like your idea of a practice run. I don't know many people that actually do a practice run though. I haven't seen it a lot. No.
And how many times do you see these questions?
Often.
Yeah. All the fucking time. Continually.
Hey, I got your book. I got your book down here. Actually, I've got it over here on the shelf. Let me see if I can grab this.
But the thing is, you don't like have to do like
what's that?
You don't have to do like a full blown full week if you don't want to. You know,
full blown week of what?
Peak week.
Oh, okay.
You can like literally if you're in shape and you're not planning on doing a whole bunch of crazy manipulation, which a lot of times you don't have to. Then you can just like manipulate your water, look like with like the guys you're talking about who tend to wake up looking great and they need to eat carbs to stay full, but then they tend to spill over a little by the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, let's just do like a day like that and let's just cut your water back and see what happens. Probably would work perfectly. That's your practice run. Like, okay, good. Yeah. You're good to go now. You know?
Yeah. But, we ended up reducing water just a little bit. And then from there, finding out like what a good balance was, you know, how much water do you need before you've actually gotten that look that we want? And usually like, you know, the kind of like our practice run was, you know, the like going into almost like the week of or on carb ups leading into it, you know, I figured to myself like, well, he's going to be on stage at about, you know, 11 a.m. He wakes up at this time. Let's do a few meals and then let's see what you look like at 11 a.m. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's a practice run as far as I'm concerned. Because you weren't doing anything crazy the week of the show, so your practice run doesn't need to be anything crazy. So that's perfect. So
you can kind of estimate, well, you know, he looks a little softer or he, you know, and then I could ask, well, like how much water did you drink? And then we can estimate, okay, so he drank 60 ounces of water. He's been up for 2.5 hours. That's, you know, a little less than 30 ounces. You know, we can figure it out. So then the day of the show, we could say, you know, okay, wake up, drink 24 ounces in the first hour. Drink 24 ounces in the second hour, you know, do these meals and then we can replicate, you know, something similar. Sure. I feel like I kind of learned that from you. You know, I know that the way that it's just a more logical way of doing it versus I feel like in the past I have used like years ago, it was very formulaic, you know, in the way that you would do a peak. And like when I first got started, the first coach I had, it was like a formula, you know, where like, well, okay, Sunday before the show, you begin drinking 3 gallons of water. And then on Monday, you do this with water. Tuesday, you do this with water. Friday, you do this with water. You take the diuretics at 6 p.m., at 9 p.m., at midnight, you know, that kind of thing. You had like the whole plan out, you know, of how it was done. And that was the formula that worked for everybody, no matter what body fat you were at, no matter, you know, how much muscle you had, no matter what you were eating. That's the formula that worked for everyone. But I see it. I get now, you know, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. I mean, you can like, I have like the peak week thing I have in the book is a framework. And that could be like, if you were going to use diuretics, that could be like the framework you start with.
Yeah.
And try it. But every show prep is a little bit different. You know, every time you do a practice run, and the diuretics are hard to replicate. That's the thing; they have such a lasting effect on water metabolism. But like, there are some people that can cut their water off at like 7 o'clock using this sort of the strategy that I've put in the book.
Yeah,
and then there have been times when I cut my water off at like noon.
Really?
Because I just found that like that's when I need to do it for whatever reason. That's just what seemed like. Because I'd did a practice run, and when I cut it off at 3, and I looked at how I looked the next day when I was, let's say, I knew I was going to be on stage at 10, and I felt like, you know, I'm still dropping water, I'm not as dry as I like to be, but if I wait another 3 or 4 hours, yeah, that's what I want to look when I was on stage.
Okay.
Smooth everything back 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, and that's what worked that year. That's what I had to do. And it's not always the case. You can change things. So it's like, you can have a strategy like that, but you always have to kind of figure out what works for you, of course, and then what works for you in that particular year and that particular prep for that particular show. So anyway, yeah, that's the thing is like, you can only like, he's talking about a general discussion, all things show day nutrition. There's so much that can go into this. So what can go wrong? We're trying to finish out the question here. What can go wrong? The main thing that people try to do, and I just said this to somebody the other day too, I tell people like, try to get like an A. If you're looking like at grades, you know, try to get an A. If you try to get an A+, like you just like want to be like, have like that, like, you know, Nirvana, like, absolutely fucking nailed it. You know, I could not have looked any better than, I looked better than anyone has ever looked in the history of bodybuilding on stage day,
yeah,
on show day. Then you're going to fuck it up because you're going to do something silly. And by his own admission, like the best known public example of that is Phil Viz, who finally nailed it, I think, in his last show. He looked really good. He's dried out and he was extremely conditioned. But he kept on fucking things up for like a decade because he was trying weird and different shit. And he was trying to like that same drive in his mind to like really, really, really nail everything and to dot every I and cross every T, and what made him push himself to train too hard during prep, which he's admitted to as well, was the double-edged sword that would cut him on show day. And he always was trying weird different shit, and wasn't doing practice runs as far as I know. When I've talked to him, he wasn't doing that. So that's what can go wrong, is trying something that is, you think might work, that's a little bit, but you've never tried before. And because you're trying to like, it's sort of a last ditch effort.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So, be helpful is the less you have to change, the better. Really, that's what I think.
Yeah, and I think Travis is a guy who's gotten into really good shape too. You know, he's a guy. It's not like he's, you know, trying to. It's not as though he's trying to cosmetically band-aid, you know, a diet that didn't go well. I mean, I've seen his pictures. He looks like he gets into really good shape. So if that's the case, you're saying like you shouldn't have to do too much.
I'm just looking at his profile picture here. Let me see. I'm trying to find pictures of him. He's got clothes on all of these, so good for him. He doesn't have a whole bunch of Travis's photos. Let's see. Yeah, there's one from a photo shoot. Yeah, he looks badass in that one.
Yeah, yeah, he gets in really good condition. So
yeah, right. So sometimes you're just complicating shit, you know, you're just creating unnecessary stress.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the best I can do, I think, to answer that. You know, pick a strategy and make it as simple as possible. Practice it. And use the tools that you know have worked during your prep. So the foods that have worked to fill you out, the things that you know from changing your water, your sodium, that will dry you out. Just use that. Don't try to, you know, come up with some new fancy way to do things, if at all possible.
And so if you're dieting, if you have a show and you feel like you need 16 weeks, then maybe start 20 weeks out and take that last month to figure out what's going to work for you this time, maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I always feel like it's an infomercial or something like that. But the way I have people at the peak week, it actually makes everyone sort of leap forward in terms of their conditioning. I've mentioned this on the show many times, I think, but because there's a period of time where you're not intentionally trying to like completely deplete your glycogen down, levels down to nothing. You just remove carbs during the first part of the week and train normally.
Yeah.
But it is a depletion type of protocol, and that in and of itself ends up, and then the filling out, probably because people are less stressed as well. Everyone moves forward. They always get in better shape. So they don't lose any ground. They actually gain ground. Yeah. And I've had people who have done that before, that peak week protocol, employ that peak week protocol. And I've done this with clients mm-hmm. intentionally to accelerate fat loss.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It creates confidence.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You know, I'm like, I look like I'm a little behind, but then if you do a peak week where you drop your water and you fill out and you look better, it's like, oh, I like how I look. That gives me more confidence that we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Plus the conditioning. So when I ask people, like, after a peak week, you know, on like Tuesday when their diet and their water is back to normal, you know, what do you think? They're like, yeah, I'm definitely leaner than I was a week ago. It happens every friggin' time. Like, I can't think of a time when it hasn't happened.
So, I think more and more nowadays people are doing multiple shows. And so if I'm working with somebody, there's a real good chance they're doing another show in 3 weeks or something like that. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's more of a modern phenomenon. I don't know about the people you knew, Scott, when you were like younger, but I can tell you that like when I started, everybody always put all their eggs in one basket where you like, I'm going for this show on this date. It's written in stone.
Mr. Michigan, baby.
Yeah, that's the show I'm doing. Boom, yep. I'm nailing it. And nowadays it's like, well, I'm going to start out this show as my warm up. And then this is my target show. And then we'll see how that one goes. And there's another one in 3 weeks after that. That everybody yeah. seems to do that nowadays. And I feel like people do a lot better when they do those multiple shows that they, I think even like you're talking about like the mock peak week, I almost feel like the peak week itself, that you come out of it better and that your condition improves every time that I've seen somebody compete. I mean, up to a point, I guess there's, mm-hmm. you know, long enough period of time, you know, with too much time in between shows, maybe that's not going to be the case. But when you have like you
yeah.
know, a show and then another show in 3 weeks and another show in 2 weeks, it just seems to work really, really well to keep pushing mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah, you're dieting longer. You've got, I think sometimes people probably, you know, depends on how structured they are. There's probably a good chance that some percentage of people, when they know the show is 2 weeks out, mm-hmm. they really knuckle down on their diet where they wouldn't if the show were 4 weeks out.
Yeah,
in those
yeah.
2 weeks, all other things being equal. So you say, okay, I got to be in shape for the show. So then they get in better shape because the show is there.
Yeah.
And then I know just in of itself, the peak week in my situation, how I do it does that for people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you don't, I was just messaging with a client this morning and thinking about shows. And also it makes sense if you can find the show. See, back in the day, like there weren't that many shows. There used to be yeah. like 3 shows a year in Arizona.
Okay.
There's literally like 2 shows when I started there.
Wow.
There's a summer, the Mr. Arizona, and there's the November show.
Holy
that was
cow.
It.
Yeah.
And then they added another one up like the Northern Arizona. And then, but now in Florida, there's a show like every weekend almost.
Yeah.
Like literally there's like 56 shows or something like that.
That's crazy, man. That's yeah. more. That's more. There's like 56 shows. That means that several weeks, there's going to be 2 shows in yeah. the same day.
Yeah. 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 They've cut back on that. I think they, we're not doing the show that last couple of years, I had a show I co-promoted with Tony Torres down in Miami, and
yeah.
we're not doing it because like you can't make any money.
Mm.
There's so many shows that you just can't get enough people there.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It was a good time, but you know, it's just kind of like, how much money do I want to lose just promoting a show? You know,
yeah.
we had that, like, even after it's a related topic. Like we had, I think we call it the IFBB Pro Extravaganza, and we had, Dave Henry was there. Guy Cisternino was there.
Yeah.
Sean Lindo is a pro. Natalie Graziano was there.
Yeah.
We had like 8 pros, including Tony and Joe Corbett, who was House of Pain owner, who's a classic physique pro. And then I was given a talk, and it was free. It was like $5 at the door or free to the athletes. We had like 8 people there.
Wow.
Like maybe 12.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like the information you could glean. And I gave a talk. I don't remember what I gave a talk on, but no one showed up.
That's just
crazy. We only had like 50 people at the show. Yeah. So there's a plethora of shows. So it lends itself to that. And it was a different thing back in the day. I'm imagining like if you're Mr. Michigan,
yeah,
like 15 years ago, you're a fucking badass. Like
yeah,
that dude's Mr. Michigan. Like there was prestige with that.
Erskine Presley, when I first started really getting into competing, yeah. and I knew this guy, his name, he went on to be, you know, okay, yeah, Dave worked with him, Dave Palombone. He was a national level guy. But when he won the Michigan, No, he's still alive. Out at Brighton Powerhouse, where he trained, I came out there to work out with my coach, who was really good friends with Erskine, and I got to meet him in person type thing, you know? And I was blown away. They had a banner, a big banner printed on the wall that said, Brighton Powerhouse, home of 2000 whatever, Mr. Michigan, Erskine Presley.
Yeah.
You know, they had this banner hanging across the wall. Like, that's right. how big of a deal it was, you know?
Right.
Yeah, now it's yeah. like everybody is nationally qualified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean to discredit anybody nowadays, but it's just the magic that was just, God, and that's 10 years ago. You know what I mean? That wasn't that long ago, you know, 10, 15.
It makes me sad, man. I miss that, you know? And I think I'm sad, too, for people who are doing physique competitions now, too, that they can't have experienced that because I think it diminishes their experience as well.
Well, listen, you know? I think you're right, but at the same time, I don't think that bodybuilding is ever going to die. And when I say that, I mean, there's guys out there that are young guys that are still really taking this seriously. You know, there's a guy here in Michigan, Tommy Styles. I know he freaking loves the sport. We have Dom Travellini here in Michigan who freaking loves the sport. There's a bunch of guys like those two that are going to, they don't do it because it's popular. They're the guys that will continue doing it when bodybuilding and fitness related, physique related sports are no longer popular, mm-hmm. you know, and it'll be those guys that still carry this thing on. So, you know, the fad will pass. That's for sure. You know?
Oh yeah.
And these guys will still be there. We'll still be there too, hopefully.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm still going, baby. I got no plans on stopping.
Right on, man. Right on. Speaking of which, did you train yet today?
No, I trained yet. I went down to MI40 and trained.
It was, nice.
Speaking of, so we had the seminar down there. It was open gym.
Yeah.
I went down and trained beforehand because I was giving that talk, and I'm just doing full body stuff. So it was a full body workout yesterday. But I was like, there was like two other people in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
His gym's not. Yeah, he does. He's got a very kind of exclusive thing. There's not a whole lot of members there. It's kind of pricey.
Okay.
And a lot of it, I think, is trainer related. But I was kind of surprised because it was open gym. And we talked most of the time, but anyone could have come down there and paid $20, which goes to the charity, and they could have trained at the gym, but I didn't see anyone show up.
Damn.
Yeah, it was just me. I figured there are a lot of women who were in town. The Women's Day thing was a women-only event on Saturday at another location.
Okay.
And you can go on Instagram and Facebook and find, like, Women's Day Tampa on Facebook is the site. But I was expecting to be packed. Like, I'm going to go in there like 9.
Yeah.
So I can get my workout done. So because they have limited restroom facilities. They only have like, I think maybe 4 or 5 like separate, you know, like the bathrooms, where it's the bathroom and a shower unto itself.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're unisex. It's like a big, you know, locker room type of scenario.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I want to have a shower, I'm going to have to like get down there early because no one was there. It was just me.
Huh.
I was the only one. So
no kidding.
I'm like, well, this is fine. I can handle it, but I'm surprised, you know, because that gym's great.
Huh, nice.
Gym's badass. Yeah. So
yeah, what do you train things today? About it? I'm taking today off. I timed it that way because I know I have a busy work day here ahead of me. So I'm hanging out with you. Then I'll be sitting in the background with the guys doing It's Just Bodybuilding. They're gonna talk to Jordan. And I haven't heard from him in a while, so that should be fun. I know you still talk to him on a regular basis. And I needed a day off. I had a great leg day yesterday. So it's a day that I need rest, whether I set it up that way. Like, I forced myself to like not want to train today anyway, man. Yeah. That's the last thing on my mind.
Is that going to be live on Facebook, the one with Jordan?
No, it's not. They haven't done a lot of podcasts. You know, like you and I, we're just like, yeah, just go live, whatever, who cares?
Right.
They're not like super confident to go live yet. They're like, we'll just record it, we'll edit it, and then we'll put it out. So there's no real editing that happens, you know what I mean? Unless like it takes a minute for Jordan to figure out how to get his Skype working, you know, that's the only thing that'll be edited. Otherwise they just, we hit record and go, and then it's just put up, you know, everything's adjusted. And when I say edited, all we do is we tweak the sound, we tweak the video quality, you know, we export it, we make it into like a very well packaged product, but it's not like we're changing anything that's been said, you know?
Well, I hope, because you know how Jordan is with technology.
They don't know this. They don't know this yet. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Like, the thing is, like, Jordan, like, there are times when I'm like, I'm busy and he's busy, and like, he'd message me and like talk about whatever, you know, something that's going on. I'm like, hey, can I call you?
Yeah.
And he's got, you know how it always was, his speakerphone wasn't working on his phone.
Yep.
I actually bought him a pair of Bluetooth headset like about 2 weeks ago. I went on the Amazon UK site and I found the same headset that I use on my phone, and I sent it to his house.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got a Bluetooth headset, or he did, unless he lost it. So he does have a Bluetooth headset. I don't think he had a headset otherwise, and he didn't have speakers on a speaker that was working on his phone.
Oh my God.
So he should have at least the phone and the headset to use to help with technology issues today. So all
right. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Cross your fingers for us, guys.
It's funny, like, I gave him the headset and I got it, and then I'm like, okay, now you fucker, call me. And he hasn't called. We'll talk eventually, but it's like, next time, no texting. We're going to talk on the phone rather than just text.
That's funny, man. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad we could catch up here. It's been a little while. I don't think we actually talked much since the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
That was definitely a deeper show. I just sat back and listened to that one. That was for sure.
I don't even remember what we talked about, to be honest.
Had Alex on. And
Right.
It was that episode, yeah.
Yeah, he was on another show. He was the Stronger by Science podcast, maybe. Okay. I look at you. Advertising that, yep.
Yes. Guys, if you haven't checked it out, I got the book right here. This is Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach, Dr. Scott Stevenson's book. The hardcover is available. I have my Belizean money in here. I don't want to lose my spot, but that's a $5 Belizean bill. That's my bookmark.
How much is that worth in American dollars?
$2.50.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's an awesome hardcover book. You can get the hardcover from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can get the ebook from byobbcoach.com. You can go to fortitudetraining.net. $20 gets you the Fortitude Training ebook. And of course, go to our sponsors, TrueNutrition.com. You can use our codes ADVICES as well as ADVICES OATS. ADVICES OATS will get you 25% off of their oatmeal blends, and the regular ADVICES code will get you just the regular discount, which is going to basically pay for your shipping or whatever. Plus, it lets True Nutrition know that you support what we're doing here. Check out the book. Everything that we talked about today, really, literally, legitimately, everything that we talked about today is in there. Of course, a whole lot more. Dr. Scott, thank you always for your time.
Absolutely. Friend.
All right, guys.
You're welcome, brother.
For another episode of Muscle Mind, Dr. Scott, I'm Scott McNally. We'll see you.
Adios.